Hi everybody, and welcome back to Yes, Another Teen Movie. We are back.
Woo!
Let's hear it for us. We had took an accidental holiday. life just kind of got in the way. I have some sad news. I lost my job, so I just want to advertise myself on this platform. Then I'm going to start working as a freelance stylist, so, you know, hire me, I guess.
If we have anyone in the movie biz listening, you know, to get, like, also, kind of... You probably listen in order to get cultural and critical analysis from the crucial millennial woman audience to see, like, what we like and what we don't like in movies. So if you're listening, Heather's available for you to style your next teen movie. Heather, you'd style such a good teen movie.
I think I would as well. It really irks me when you watch a teen movie and you can tell the costumes have been done by an adult who's never seen a kid. Or, like, you know what I mean? It's like
Angus Disney Channel. Angus Perfect Snogging may be, like, the worst. Is that like the number one worst styled teen movie that we've done?
I think so. Where she wears, like, the horrible tights and she's meant to be, like, get with Hot Robbie. What the fuck?
The colourful tights, denim skirt and polo shirt combination lives in my mind rent free.
Say, well, it does pay rent, but... it's held my mind hostage. That's a terrible movie. Actually, while we're on this topic, I've got some bad news for you, Gemma. Mm-hmm. You ready to hear it? Are you sitting down?
Well, you know I'm sitting down. You can see me.
Yes, it's for the listeners.
I'm not squatting. I've got thighs of iron.
A yogi squat.
Yeah, I'm doing a yogi squat for the whole recording.
Train those pelvic floors. So today I realized that. Do you want to guess what it is? What do you think I'm going to tell you? It's teen movie related.
Oh, is it a new sequel of After? A new After installment is coming out.
Oh, you're so close. No, it's even worse. Like, I'm just going to tell you. It's a new To All the Boys I've Loved Before.
No!
but it's not about it's about the annoying little
No, Heather,
sister.
Stop. Heather, stop. We are not watching that shit.
No, we're not.
I'm putting an embargo even on any further discussion of that annoying... that she one most annoying sibling, like...
Sibling.
Of all time. Like, she's so annoying. Oh, Yakult Girl. I can't believe they gave her her own vehicle.
I forgot about Yakult. She's I just saw a trailer today on Facebook, weirdly, like a boomer. And I saw a trailer and it's like her name's Kitty, I'd forgotten. She goes to Korea, it's her love story, and it already starts off so annoying of her giving a PowerPoint to her parents. Oh my god.
Oh, she's
like,
such a precocious little annoying kid. No, thank you.
And now she's like older and wears makeup and it's even more disturbing to look at her face. It's just, I couldn't believe it. So yeah, it's even worse. I'd rather watch After, like, strapped to a chair, you know, than watch that shit.
That's actually a really damning indictment. Like, saying that you'd rather watch After than anything else is like, that's like the worst thing you could say about a movie. If I say I'd rather watch After than your movie fucking sucks.
Yeah, so I agree. We are not watching it. I considered it for a fleeting moment and I was like, definitely not. I don't want to do this to myself.
So sorry, all you Kitty/Yakult fans out there. We're letting you down.
Oh, but there's another After. I saw that as well.
Oh, yeah. We know that. I think there's going to be two more.
Jesus Christ.
I can't wait for one about what's his name? Harden, this youth. That's like, there's like a prequel. One of them's a prequel about him growing up.
No.
I can't wait to watch that film about his really hard life in South Kensington.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, let's kick this shit off.
Yeah, so we decided to watch Juno.
We did.
I'd never seen it before, which is crazy.
I can't believe you've never seen it before. Yeah, I had. It was a real touchstone of my teenage years.
I remember the soundtrack is etched in the twee, like, Belle and Sebastian soundtrack. Ooh. Was everywhere.
Like, I know. It's
your part-time lover and your part-time friend,
the monkey on your back. Yeah, it actually introduced me to Belle and Sebastian. So I have to say thank you for that, because they're one of my favourite bands. But looked at in its sum total, that soundtrack, fuck me. It kind of was a cultural reset. Like,
it really was, actually, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how well I remembered every single song. I think it like introduced a lot of teens to annoying, quote unquote annoying artists like Regina Spektor and Belle and Sebastian. It was such a cultural moment. That's why I'm surprised that you didn't see it. Why didn't you see it?
I don't know. I just one of those movies. You know, some people have never seen Star Wars or Jaws. You know, I've just never seen.
Our generation Star Wars, Juno. Yeah. No, I mean, fair enough. Like,
I tried to watch it a few years ago, and then it started, and I was like, it's the same what I have in Napoleon Dynamite. When we watched that for the podcast, I was like, in its time, I would have enjoyed this, but now the moment's gone.
So true. Like, I mean, we'll get into how you felt about it, but even I was like, oh my god, this film is so annoying. Like, there are some cultural artifacts really? That are so of their time that it's actually like they're the opposite of timeless. They're so of their time that it's like teeth-grittingly hard to get through them, because you realize how far like culture has like moved on, that it's just they're not relevant anymore, and they just feel very deeply cringe because they're reminders of a time when I don't know, everyone drew like those little like black hearts on their hands and like posed with them for like in front of their webcam for Tumblr, and like, you know, it's fun to watch because it's like a time capsule of that time, and that's the time when I was a teenager, so that's also fun. But like, I just don't want to watch movies where people talk like that anymore in that very self-consciously like kooky way.
Very kooky.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I wrote down anything that she said. Oh yeah, like, when she finds out she's pregnant, she's like, yeah, I'm for shiz up the spout. Like, I just don't watch movies with white people talking like that.
In the beginning, the language is super irritating, but it kind of ebbs away. Like, the movie starts off really annoying, but it won me back over.
I guess it's because she gets more mature as the film goes on. Like, she's kind of forced to grow up by the circumstances that happened to her, so she gets a little bit less annoying and teenage.
Yeah. And also Michael Cera, his all awkward vibe is so that time, 2007, like, it's kind of Napoleon Dynamite, like, awkward white man.
Yeah, you know? It really is. They were, that was their time. I mean, I know the awkward white man is never really out of fashion. No. It's not like they're like an oppressed class, but at that was really their heyday. They were living.
Yeah. I always think of Michael Cera. Have you seen that clip when he meets the Geordie Shore cast? Jersey Shore, and they like Guido him up.
Yeah, I think I have recently seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ali and I recently started watching Arrested Development, which I've never seen. And that's Michael Cera is a tiny, tiny boy in that. I think it might have been like his first role, and he's so cute. And also with Jason Bateman, so two characters from Juno.
Did you know that I have a massive crush on Jason Bateman?
I actually did know that. And okay. I get it.
Yeah, I had a sex dream about him once, and ever since then I just can't, you know.
He's kind of daddy, isn't he?
And he's also kind of like hot in this movie. He gets annoying in the end, but in the beginning.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he's definitely a
problematic
character. Yeah, but yeah, you can see what she likes about him. This is the thing about this film. His character, I think, is so well realized.
Like, oh, so good.
It's so the way their relationship develops feels so real. Because it's never like out and out, like, well, we'll get into it, but like,
yeah, yeah. Should we just start with doing the plot?
Let's go for it.
You want to start us off?
Okay. So Juno, she's in high school, she's 16 years old, played by Elliot Page, and It starts with her telling you about how she lost her virginity. And she, it starts with a chair. And it shows like her and Michael Cera having sex for the first time. That's how it starts, right?
That's really awkward. I think that was really awkward to watch, I think.
It's very awkward, yeah. It's Michael Cera. And Michael Cera is always wearing this like running outfit for the whole movie with like the tiniest shorts of all time.
His mom is so well cast as well.
Yeah, she's very, very funny. So they're friends, him and Juno. His name's Paulie. They're friends for like the whole, like they've been friends since they were kids, and they're kind of like, I guess their relationship also is realistic because it's like he's kind of into her. She doesn't really know if she's that into him, but she sleeps with him anyway. They don't use protection. So it starts with her basically finding out that she's pregnant. Oh yeah, it starts with her going back to the store for another pregnancy test. It's like her fourth test.
Yeah.
And there's like a lot, it really introduces the like stupid dialogue between her and like so the shop owner. It's very like, it's just very of its time, that like very slangy, very like quote unquote alt, the way Tumblr people would talk, you know.
Yeah,
we'll put a clip here because I can't remember any specific quotes, but I want anyone who hasn't seen it to like understand what we're dealing with here.
Jeez, banana, shut your friggin' gob, okay?
Your ego is prego, no doubt about it.
Silencio, old man. Look, I just drank my weight in Sunny D, and I gotta go pronto.
Don't think it's yours just because you marked it with your urine.
Yo, yo, you gonna yell? I'm a suicide risk.
Juno?
No, it's Morgan Freeman. Do you have any bones that need collecting? I am for shiz up the spout. Fook at Thailand.
There we go.
That was kind of the emotion that I was searching for on the first take.
So...
yeah, and so she decides to get an abortion, and this bit I don't really understand. She goes to get the abortion, and then she just like decides not to because it smells like a dentist. She like, kind of gets like cold feet.
Yeah, it's so there's an interesting like this is an interesting movie because. One of the things that happens when she goes to the abortion clinic is one of her classmates is like protesting outside. She's like a one woman because she's like a one child abortion protest. Juno has an interaction with her, and
the girl says like they have fingernails, and then Juno, that makes her sort of think. That's why I stopped watching the last time. I was like, wait, is this some weird like anti-abortion propaganda?
Well, the thing is, I don't think that it is. That's just like what has to happen for the story,
for the movie,
yeah, for the plot to progress. However, it did get apparently like weaponized by anti-abortion groups, which I don't think was the director's intention at all, because she's very like left-wing and like she just wanted to portray something that was similar to her own high school experience. But yeah, I think like it's very clear how the fact that she has that interaction with her classmate and then she decides not to have an abortion, how like that's like real, that's like handing, you know, conservatives what they want on a silver platter, really. It's like a cool teen movie where she decides not to get an abortion because she knows it's wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the lesson wrapped up in like coolness. But I don't think it's meant to be like that. I don't think it's meant to be moralistic. She just doesn't want to do it. And that's also fine, you know?
Yeah, that's totally fine. Of course. But, yeah, that will really irked me the last time I tried to watch it. But as the movie, now that I've seen the whole movie, I don't think it's meant. It's just a plot device for her to be pregnant.
Exactly. And yeah, the abortion clinic is kind of like grim and like, but not grim in like a scary way. Like she just says it smells like a dentist, and there's like a teenager behind the counter like chewing gum, and she just doesn't feel like, it's the right choice for her. So she leaves. She tells her best friend. Her best friend's like, what the fuck?
Her best friend's really fun.
She's very fun. Yeah, she's very angry at her for not getting an abortion initially.
The side characters are kind of what make this movie charming. Yeah, I think.
No, totally. Yeah. Her
because Juno is so precocious as well and just annoying.
Very, very annoying. Very like the cool girl, like who has like. You know,
she smokes like a pipe.
Yeah, exactly. She like tells her best friend and they talk about like what else would be possible to do, and her friend tells her that she always sees ads in the back of this magazine called Penny Saver for like childless couples who are looking to adopt a baby.
Yeah.
So they go through the ads
and they find this couple played by Jason Bateman and a complete crazy beautiful Jennifer Garner. Mm-hmm. I never realized how hot Jennifer Garner is.
No. She's not I wouldn't even call her hot. She's just like,
no, it's just really beautiful.
Yeah, it's like she's beautiful.
She's not sexy.
No, she's beautiful in like very unattainable ethereal way. Kind of like Gwyneth Paltrow, I guess.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
I think she, like when she was younger, she was also like the, you know, she's like unattainably beautiful. She's like a nymph or something, you know?
Yeah. You're right. Not so much now with her crazy fasting.
Yeah, she needs to, that woman needs to eat a fucking burger, okay? That bone broth is doing nothing for her.
I know. Anyway, we're digressing. But so they go and meet the, who plays the dad again? He's really funny. He's a Whiplash as well.
Oh, yeah, the funny dad. Is it J.K. Simmons?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But it's also quite nice and surprising when she tells her dad and stepmom that they react. Normally when there's a teenage pregnancy, the parents, you know, throw them out, or it's really dramatic. Like, obviously they're a bit like, oh, for fuck's sake, but they're not mad, or they're quite supportive, you know. That's nice, I think.
Exactly, yeah. They're very
supportive. The stepmom's really fun. I love the stepmom, Brenda.
The dad does say something to her, though, that I feel like affects her. And makes her like quite sad. He says, what does he say? I thought you were the kind of girl who knew when to say when, or something like that. That really stuck with me, because I felt like it was just, it's very like, it's a hard thing to hear that you've disappointed your parents, and the way that he says it is like, like you can tell how disappointed he is.
Yeah, but after that, after she's made the decision, why can't I pronounce that word, to keep the baby, they go and meet the couple, Jason Bateman and Jennifer Garner, and it's like this beautiful white picket fence in the suburbs kind of house.
Huge, upper middle class American home, like the blueprint.
But I think the relationship, I didn't realize it was this whole, I thought the movie was about her getting a baby or having a baby with Paulie and then falling in love with him through like during the pregnancy, but it's way more about her relationship with this couple, actually.
Yeah, exactly. It's
and their relationship.
It's a story of her kind of coming to understand adult relationships, I think, because up until now, like, despite the fact that she's been very precocious, like we said, she is also a child. Like, she's very, like, she kind of does and says exactly what she wants in this very, like, almost, like, self-consciously, like, yeah, I'm a teenager way. Like, you know, she doesn't kind of adhere to social conventions, and she's, like, clearly, like, very proud of that. But in a way, that in itself is childish. Like, everyone kind of has to grow up and, like, realize how to be an adult, and that kind of happens to her in the movie. And she realizes that, like, adult relationships are so much more complicated than she thought. And I feel like that influences her ultimate relationship with Michael Cera's character.
Yeah, true. So basically what I thought was really interesting, because you get to meet him, and Jennifer Garner, I forgot her name in the movie, Vanessa, she's really, really eager to have a child. And Chase Bateman, I forgot his name in the movie.
Mark.
He doesn't seem that fussed. He's a bit like, at the beginning, to at least me as a viewer, I thought Vanessa was super annoying. And you're like, what a irritable woman. And you really like him, and it completely flips towards the end.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
That's, yeah, it's very like,
it's so subtly done as well. It's because it's hard even to explain what happens, because not much happens. It's like Mark is just, also Jason Bateman, super hot, but he's just a likable guy.
He's just the classic, he's the chill guy, you know? He's like the chill husband who's like, like his wife seems like super anal and like on him, and like, but she's just really, really excited about having a baby, and like the other stuff, like get her like getting annoyed with him for like sitting around watching movies, you don't actually see her do that. He just tells Juno that she does that.
That's true.
Like he's very, it's very, they're very like, they just have these classic roles that we used to see all the time in rom-coms, but I think like in this case, like the director is telling us like that's sometimes just roles that couples fall into, because like, so like if the man is like really lazy and like, you know, not proactive about stuff, then like women always have to like pick up the slack, and then they look really anal and
Type A and naggy
and yeah, it's really, really well done in this film, because yeah, when you meet her, you're like, oh, she's just such a like kind of like type A waspy like wannabe mom, and he's like so much cooler than that. To put him in context, he's like he used to be in a rock band, and now he's a composer, but for ads, like ad jingles. So he's kind of like the original sellout.
Yeah, that's what she says to him as well. Yeah,
so he's quite a funny character, and he's obviously dissatisfied with his life. Like they shouldn't be together. He doesn't want like the white picket fence thing. He wants to keep living like he's like 20, you know, and like go and,
yeah. It's also at the beginning. You see like his man cave, and he's like, this is where Vanessa makes me keep all my stuff. And as a viewer, you're like, oh, poor guy, like, oh, what a, imagine if you were with that woman, like what a nightmare. And it's so subtle the way you get tricked into disliking her but liking him, and it's the exact same way how he wins Juno over as well,
especially because most people watching this movie were teenage girls. And you're right, like he wins you over in the same disingenuous way that he wins her over, where as a viewer you're like, oh, I bet like I could change him, you know, like if that was me, like I would also be like,
I wouldn't make him have a man cave. I would let him put his stuff all over the house,
because I'm a cool girl.
Yeah, but also like they have a really good chemistry, Juno and him. So at first you think like, oh, they just get along really well, they have fun banter, they just talk about music. And she shows up to their house with a picture of the, what do you call that, the echo? No, what do you call that in English?
The what, sorry?
When you get the baby.
The ultrasound.
Ultrasound. Yeah. We call it an echo in Dutch. So shows up. So Vanessa's not home. So they just talk about music and stuff. But it's not overly flirty, or it's not inappropriate. But they just like watch a movie together, because he's like, oh, you've never seen this.
Yeah.
You have to watch it. So there's nothing, there's no one's crossing any borders or lines, but it is a bit intimate to watch like a movie with a guy in his 30s if you're 16. It is a bit weird, but it not actually. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I actually don't think that I fully understood the film the first time I saw it when I was like 16, I think. I'm pretty sure I was like the same age as her when it came out, maybe slightly younger, like maybe 15. And I don't think I fully got like why what he was doing was wrong. I feel like it's only as you get older that you realize like,
yeah,
it is weird for a man like in his 30s to want to hang out so much with a 16-year-old girl that is having a baby that she's going to give to him and his wife, in like a kind of like late, like private, like laid back kind of setting without his wife being there. But there's nothing on the face of it, there's nothing actually that wrong with it. But you know that like his, and it's not even that his intentions are that bad. It's just that he they're not good. I don't know how to describe it, but like you can tell after that when they watch the horror movie together and they like argue about music and stuff, she tells him that he's lame because he doesn't like Patti Smith or whatever, and he tells her she doesn't know any real music because she's not into Sonic Youth. But when she leaves, she does that thing that you do when you like start to like someone, where like she keeps talking to him. She keeps talking about him, like she's mentioning him to her friend and to her stepmom. She's like, oh yeah, I just watched a movie with Mark. And her stepmom's like, that's kind of weird. And she says to her, like, you can't like hang out. You can't. It's weird that you're hanging out with a married man in his home while his wife isn't there. And she's like, what the hell? No, it isn't. And that's like, because she's a teenager, she feels like she can just like get away with like doing whatever she wants. She's like, of course it isn't weird. Like at that time, your brain isn't fully developed. You know, you make the most stupid decisions. Like I would do the same thing as her.
I don't think I would have hung out. Well, maybe Jason Bateman.
Yes, you would.
But also for her, her crush on Mark that she doesn't explicitly say, but you can tell that she has. It's she doesn't read it. It's so innocent from her.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Because it's all like they just get along, and actually, for me, watching the tension or them liking each other, they didn't give me butterflies. But I was like, oh, this is nice to watch. And I had to remind myself, like, wait, she's meant to be 16 in this, and he's like in his 30s. That's fucking weird.
Yeah.
But it's like, they clearly have chemistry, and I don't think Juno herself in the movie has maybe thought of it that way. But you know, yeah, it's true. When you talk about someone the whole time, you haven't really clocked it yourself that you like someone, but she obviously does.
Yeah.
But it's well done. It's done really well, because then at one point, also because what's done really well, they watch the movie, they talk about her name, Juno, and she's like, but they're not touching, or they're not close to each other. And she's saying how she's named after this goddess who is mean but super beautiful. And he's like, oh, that suits you. And you're, as a viewer, like, oh, wait, is he
flirting
with
her? This
guy's flirting?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, oh. Because up to then, it's just like friendly banter or like a bit intimate watching a movie, but it's nothing. But that's the first hint. You're like, oh, wait.
And he does he does like the classic thing of like, you know, oh, I feel like the way that a lot of older guys flirt with younger women or girls is to be like, oh, you're too young to understand that, or like, this is like, this music's from before your time when things were actually good and stuff. Like, he's always putting their relationship in the context of like how much older he is than her. And like, I think he likes that.
Yeah. So then, well, let's just finish there. That storyline is now we're on it anyway. Because then at one point she shows up again to his house, and he's like, you can see him being really enthusiastic that she's there, and they go down. And the basement, he's like, oh, here's some CDs, whatever. And he puts a song on, and he's like, oh yeah, I love this song. I danced to this on my prom. He's like, and then it's all like, oh, it's the flirting is so realistic as well. Do you know what I mean? That's exactly how I flirt.
Yeah.
Like the way they do. It's like, oh, you dance? I can't picture you dancing. And then next thing you know, and then they start slow dancing. And for me, that's like when I'm like, oh, this is getting way too much, you know. The flirty banter was sort of fun, but this is like uneasy to watch, don't you think?
It is, yes. You start feeling like weird, don't you?
It's weird. Yeah, it's no longer like, now it's, then as a viewer you're certain like, oh, this guy does actually fancy.
It just went too far, like, yeah.
Yeah. It's no longer just a crush, which from her side is fine, his side not. And then he says, I'm leaving Vanessa. And you can see, like, it's so clear that Juno's innocent, sort of, like, this is not what she wanted. You know, she doesn't want to get with this guy. She gets really mad. I thought it was so good, you know? I don't know. But just, like, she snapped back into reality. Like, it's fun to have a crush and, like, but you don't actually, sometimes you don't want something to happen from it, you know?
Exactly. I mean? Especially when you're a teenager and it's an older guy, because, like, she, like, at that time, your brain isn't really fully developed, like I said. Like, you don't really give that much thought to what you're doing. But, like, you're just kind of, like, doing what feels good. But then, yeah, so at that point, it stops. It starts to feel real. And it's like, oh, shit. Like, yeah. I didn't actually want this.
And then, so that's when she gets, like, she's like, no, no, you should stay with Vanessa. And he's all like, oh, I thought you'd be happy. And then as a viewer, you're like, this guy is a fucking creep.
Yeah.
You know? Like...
Yeah, it's very weird when he says, I thought you'd be happy about that. It's like, so what was he expecting? That they were going to have a relationship after he left his wife? Very weird.
She had a baby? Yeah. So yeah, that's a bit of an awkward situation. They have, the three of them are in the kitchen or in the hallway, and Vanessa and him fight because he doesn't want to have a baby.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
He's not ready to be a father. They shouldn't be together in the first place, which isn't an excuse for like the way he behaves. But like, yeah, it's just very clear that they're not well matched. And that she is just more mature than him, which I think is the case for many heterosexual relationships.
Yeah. She also says something like, what do you want, Mark? Do you want to be a fucking rock band? Like, if I'm going to wait to your Kurt Cobain and then have kids, I'll be too old. And I was like, it's so true. Like, you can have your hobbies, it's fine, but to really live in your past when you're in your heydays, it's just a bit sad. This guy clearly is dissatisfied with his sort of like homely life.
And also, like, it is fine like to be that, like, not everyone wants like a white picket fence and like 2.4 kids, you know? Like, if he wants to live like that, yeah, it is kind of lame like to try and capture the magic of your, like, you know, when you were like a 19-year-old like
rocker.
Ali messaged me saying the song is Superstar by Sonic Youth, bitch, so I guess that clears that up. it's a bit lame to see like a 30-something-year-old guy do that, but if you want to do that, like, if that's your truth, like, you know, do it, but just like have the guts to like break up with your wife before you go down the path of adopting a baby from a 16-year-old, and don't translate your feelings to that 16-year-old. But yeah, he just wants to be young again. I mean, I think he has the thing of like, oh, I wish, like, I met a cool girl like this when I was young.
Yeah. So basically, the adoption is sort of off the hook. Juno leaves and crying. What happens then? She goes back later with a note saying, "If you're in, Vanessa, I'm still in," which is such a nice happy ending, I think.
It's really cute. It's really, really cute. Because then at the end, you see Jennifer Garner adopt the baby on her own.
Yeah.
It's really cute.
And I actually cried a little, because so Juno goes into labor. We'll go back to her and Bleecker in a bit, but I'll just finish the whole movie. She goes into labor and she has the baby. And I don't know why. Is this a thing in America or just movies when they put all the babies in like a separate room? I don't think this is a thing in Holland. Is this a thing in Ireland or England?
I don't know. I've never had a baby.
Me neither. But I'm always like, why are they all one sort of like weird
it's,
room
that's
together?
How they get mixed up. It's like,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that happens to people. And then it's like, well, maybe if you didn't like put them all in a room.
They
like,
all look the same.
It's weird. Yeah, exactly. I'm not surprised that happens so often. But yeah. I don't know if that's a real thing or if it's just in America or if it's just in movies, but yeah.
But so Jennifer Garner holds the baby, and then Brenda, love Brenda, walks in, and Jennifer Garner is like, how do I look? And Brenda's like a new mom, shit scared. And I cried. I was like, oh my god, that's so nice. I don't know why it touched me so much. I was like so happy for Jennifer Garner's story. And
I cried too at the end. It's very like, it's such a human film. Like, it just like, it really humanizes the characters. It's like, doesn't place too much judgment on anyone, and she has, Jennifer Garner gets to have such a beautiful ending, and you can just imagine her like raising the baby as a single mom, but like she's kind of like a bit of a girl boss, so like,
yeah,
you know, they're gonna be okay.
Yeah,
it's cute. I cried too at the end.
It's very nice, and I also like that she gives birth, then Paulie or Bleecker, whatever his name is, comes up and he spoons her. I don't know, it was so intimate and like cute, and then you hear a voice over like, we both didn't want to see the baby because it didn't really feel like ours. And I was like, wow, it's such an Hollywood kind of thing to say, or like, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Also, that's why I don't think it's like it's not an anti-abortion movie. It's like, just it's just a film about like the choices people make and like how they can be more complicated than just one thing, you know.
I know, it really won me over. When it started with that burger phone and the Bell Sebastian soundtrack, I was like, oh my god. But then
when she's like, sorry, it's really hard to talk on my burger phone, it's like, oh,
I was like,
shut
2007 up. you have a mobile, use that, you know.
2007 called, it wants its burger phone back.
Yeah, but so I actually really really liked it. It's super cute and nice and it's a bit twee, but hey, you know, like I get the hype.
It was the era of twee.
It was the era of twee.
We also have to go, yeah, this was, remember guys, this was the era of Tumblr, Zooey Deschanel, 500 Days of Summer.
Oh my god, she had a grip on society.
Yeah, she did. Belle and Sebastian, Brogue Shoes, like this, yeah, that these are the things that had society in a chokehold at this time.
What are you gonna say?
We need to kind of like go back a bit and talk about what happens in the end with her and Bleecker. So
yeah,
at the same time as kind of like all this stuff is going on with Mark, she's kind of ignoring Paulie Bleecker, Michael Cera, because she has complicated feelings about him. He doesn't exactly react in like the way that you would want someone to react when she tells him that, well, I don't know how you'd want someone to react, but he's a very shy, awkward teenage boy, and like, he doesn't really, I mean, maybe, I don't know if I'm just like, as a, you know, 29-year-old woman, like, not cutting him enough slack, but like, there is a part of me that thinks he's not like that great. I don't know. Like, he doesn't really support her. And that's because he doesn't support her through the pregnancy. She tells him that she doesn't really want or need his support, and he just kind of like accepts that. And I know that you're meant to root for them as a couple, and I kind of do, but there's also a part of me that's like, oh, I wish, I don't know, like, I wish he was more there for her. Like, I don't, it kind of feels like he gets away with it because he's like cute Michael Cera, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, I think it's just meant to be super awkward, or, and also I think this is how a teenage boy would react, like,
yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if you're like, you're probably like panicking, and yeah,
he basically tells her that she can do whatever she wants, and then she tells him that she's getting an abortion, and he's like, okay, I'll go with you, and she's like, no, I don't want you to. And then she tells him that she's not having an abortion, and he's like, oh, okay. He doesn't like tell his parents or anything that she's having his baby.
No.
But yeah, she kind of ignores him throughout the film.
Yeah, she's a bit mean to him.
She is, yeah, she's mean to him. But then she finds out that he's taking
she wants to make it, yeah.
Every teenage girl, well, maybe not every, but I feel like a lot of you had that one guy in your life who really liked you and you kind of relied on to like you, you know,
yep.
And you didn't ever think
that
they'd stop liking you or they'd get another girl. Yes. Yeah, like, that is...
Yeah, I can relate.
that is a part... Many. That is a part of the teenage girl experience, TM.
Mm.
And he's her, you know, fallback guy. And then she finds out that he's taking another girl to the prom, and she's not happy about that because, like I said, she expects him to be like hanging around and waiting for her. And then she confronts him about it, and he's kind of like says, like, well, what am I supposed to do? Hang around and wait for you? You kind of broke my heart. Like, I can't remember exactly what she says to him, but she does say something like, oh, we're not going to be like together or anything after they have sex.
It is her own fault, like,
exactly. And then she realizes obviously that she's in love with him, and she fills his mailbox with orange Tic Tacs, which are his favorite thing. And then they have like one of a really really nice movie kiss, one of the on the track field, because he's always running track. And yeah, they kiss while she's still like huge and pregnant, and he's wearing a skinny little running shorts, and yeah, then he comes to the hospital after she gives birth and they lie together, and then the end of the film you see them together playing their guitars and singing, and it's very 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 twee when they sing that
you're
song.
So nice. But it's also cute when the voiceover, she's like, I didn't tell Polly I was going into labor because he had an important race, so.
Yeah.
But then you see him win it and looking around, not seeing her, and you hear her be like, but he figured out anyway, and he runs all the way to the hospital. It's so nice.
As they're announcing that he broke a record, he's like sprinting away from the track. It's very cute.
It's so nice. And the way he like spoons her in the bed and like she's all, oh, I'm gonna cry again. It's just so nice.
It is. It is really, really nice.
So I'm a 10 out of 10 for Juno, honestly. Like I wish I had seen it earlier, but yeah.
Also, like, something very cool about it is it had a really, really low budget. It was meant to be like a very indie film, and it was only released in like a few theaters in like hipster places like New York, Portland, and LA. Elliot Page actually took like a lower salary than he had previously received for other movies because like so the film wouldn't go over budget, and then it ended up being the highest grossing film of all the Best Picture nominees that year.
Wow, who gets all that money, I wonder?
Well, hopefully they gave Elliot Page some more.
Or like the caterers, or I'm just thinking that. Yeah. Like, the costume designers.
But yeah, it just really resonated with people at that time. It was just like, I don't know. It did feel like it was talking to real teenagers and not the teenagers of teen movies, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because when you watch a movie like He's Old, She's Old That or whatever, it's like these people are stereotypes. And they're fun stereotypes. Very fun to watch. But like as we always say, like the girl, the female lead is very often like someone who you can just project yourself onto.
Yeah.
You can't really do that with Juno. She's very much her own person. She's like a very well-rounded, very well-realized character with like a lot of her own personality, her own interests. She's not always even likable, which is like a good thing.
Yeah, you know, and almost unheard of with women in cinema
Exactly. So it was an important film, I would say.
I think I like it as well because not just Juno, but all the characters have some flaws to them. For example, my hero Brenda, like the stepmom, like. She's not perfect or the bad guy. She's just a person. And same with the dad, you know?
Yeah.
Like, not Hollywood dad necessarily, but just also, you know what I mean? So.
Exactly.
And Michael Cera, exactly, being a bit like aloof, but at the end, you're like, oh, he's not that bad guy. And Juno herself and Vanessa. So I think it's just a really interesting film.
Yeah, it's still, like you said, like, I had the same feeling as you watching it. I was annoyed at it at the start, and then by the end I was like, no, I'm really glad this film exists.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I love it. Go watch it if you haven't seen it, like me.
Oh, I feel like this was such a wholesome episode from us. Like,
I know.
I feel like we
shit on movies. Yeah.
Especially lately. I mean, it's not our fault.
Gemma.
It's the people who are making these fucking movies.
Oh, fuck
make
me,
some
yeah.
more stuff like Juno. I mean, not like exactly like Juno. That would be weird in this day and age. But like, you know, stuff that's the equivalent of Juno for now. What do you think today's teens have that's like Juno?
Well, I really like The Edge of 17. That's such an underrated
That's
teen
true.
Movie.
That's true. Maybe
that's so
like the new Juno.
Real and funny and yeah, no, you never heard anyone about that movie.
Yeah, you really
that's
don't.
Such a good movie.
You really don't.
Hayley Seinfeld's really good. Fucking Woody Harrelson's in it. Honestly one of the best ones we've watched, and people always yap on about To All the Boys and other shit. Tall Girl.
Oh god, don't even get me started.
Too Tall, Tokyo Drift. Should we do bingo?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Trips Over?
No. She's not clumsy.
She's not, no.
Far from it.
A Dead Parent?
No,
but her mom is like living in a
yeah, but I don't count
yoga
that.
Retreat or some shit. No, we don't count it. I don't think she really has a good relationship with her mom. Hollywood dad, are we gonna say he's like Hollywood? I think he comes through as a Hollywood dad in the end.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Sexual assault.
He crosses the line. Yeah.
So maybe we'll give it like a 3 out of 5.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mean Girl Redemption. There's no mean girls in this movie. No, it's not. Girls. It's not about that. It's not a. It's a teen movie, but it's not like a teen movie in the sense of.
It's not typical.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They don't spend too much time in school. Blanket heteronormativity.
Yes,
actually, which is kind of weird because it's definitely like a film that if this film was made now, her best friend would be queer.
Yeah,
that's my take.
Defo.
Dream bedroom.
Can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember either. I don't know if it even shows her bedroom. They have a weird house. Everything is dog related.
That's really funny, I thought.
Makeover scene.
No.
Crazy teen rager.
No.
They don't party. Annoying sibling. She does have a sibling who
called Liberty Bell.
Yeah, called Liberty Bell, who won't eat her food properly. Can we say she's annoying?
No.
Okay, fine. Prom?
No.
Well, actually, yes. Prom doesn't happen, but prom does provide important conflict because Michael Cera asks another girl to prom.
Okay, fine. So, the one who smells like soup.
Yeah, exactly. So we have to give it a point because it's like, it fine. Provides like, you know, a plot point.
Okay.
You're throwing away your dream. Not really. No. She doesn't throw away her dreams. That's the thing.
Mm.
Quirky male friend. Yeah.
Yes, Michael Cera,
like he wins. He's the quirkiest male friend of all time. Okay, it only got 7 points out of 30.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it's not really like a teen movie in the biblical
traditional
sense. Yeah.
Thank fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think that's us for today.
Wow, such a formal ending, Heather.
I'm sat in such an awkward position. I'm dying to get out of this.
Okay, fine. Well, let's let Heather free.
So again, thank you very much for today, Gemma. Thank you, listeners, for still listening to us. Thank you for our Japanese listeners. Don't know how you've discovered us. Let us know. We're really curious. And
we're sorry for the long break, and we will endeavor to
be more up to date.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm using the word endeavor there to sort of add a disclaimer in case we ever do this again.
If I lose a job again, then.
But I think Juno was a great one to return with. Absolutely loved it.
I've got a new taste for watching teen movies and discussing them with you. So
our lust for life is back, baby. Woo!
Yes. Woo! So stay teeny.
Okay.
I tried a new. Okay,
and don't watch the new All the Boys film, okay? Don't do it.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't do it. And if you do, tell us how shit it is. Okay, we need to go. Bye, Gemma.
Bye.
I love you. Bye, listeners.